Palmer looks, turns, and throws, and he's got Matt Feldman in the back of the end zone for the two-point conversion. Perilou is being chased by Ryan Davis, and the Jaguars sack and end the game.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening, and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton joined by the head coach. Good evening, Coach. How are you?
Good evening, Brian. Doing great.
Nice to have you here. And over the next hour, we'll take your questions via Twitter, at Jags Voice, J-A-G-S-V-O-I-C-E, at Jags Voice, and of course, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Finally, after a couple of weeks, we have football to talk about other than training camp.
No, it was good to finally get a game under our belt and have a chance to evaluate our players in some live situations. So, this is great to talk about it.
That was a chippy game. I mean, you could tell that both teams had gotten tired of training camp and were ready to get out there and prove something.
No question. It was a physical game for a preseason game, and I was very proud of our guys. There really was nobody that did not play all-out effort throughout the whole game. So I was really proud of them.
And when you look at Gabbard, obviously that's been the story now. How did he react? What did you see from him on the practice field yesterday and today based on a good game on Friday night?
Nothing different. He comes out prepared every day to get better, and nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, he's never satisfied with anything he's doing, and that's kind of the way he's been since I've been around him. So it wasn't surprising that he came out and just, let's just keep the same approach we started way back, and let's do something better than we did when we first got here. And he's amazing.
Well, this is a league where you're constantly forced to prove yourself. Every snap, you're forced to prove that you belong out there.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And especially for young guys, they got to force, or they have to have people see that I belong. And you may have limited opportunities to do that. So it was critical that our guys, when they got their chances, they did something special.
You know, you do get some guys who show you that they're trying to prove it every single play. They feel it. You can sense it. I don't get the sense with Blaine that, you know, I know he wants to prove it because that's what those guys do, but that he has to turn around and go, see, I did it. See, I did it.
He's never done that.
Yeah.
I mean, never once since I've been here have I ever seen, heard any body language. Just nothing has said he's trying to prove anybody wrong. You know, he just wants to be a good quarterback in the National Football League, a great quarterback for this team. And I like his approach. I hope he doesn't change. I hope he doesn't become complacent when he has some success. I just want him. I don't think he will be because he's so hard on himself when he doesn't do well. I love guys like that. I mean, that they're their own worst critics, and they're just never satisfied, and those guys are the ones that will be successful.
Well, we could go throw for throw, but a couple that stand out on that opening drive, the one to the far sideline to Mike Thomas to move the chains. I mean, he made some big-time throws on that drive, and yeah, we're not talking about big-time bomb down the field. You know, sharp, crisp throws, you know, under pressure.
Yeah, really. I mean, after watching the tape, not even realizing what took place on the first play of the game, the one that he overthrew Mercedes, but we got beat relatively quick on the our right side of the offense, and he had a guy in his face, actually got a club across the forehead.
Yeah, we noticed that.
I mean, right as he's getting ready to throw the ball, he had pressure, and you know, if we don't have that pressure, he's got a chance to lay that thing into Mercedes, and then he had a batted pass down later on. But he had a chance to really go 6 for 6 in that drive. But the thing I liked that he did was the third downs were critical. We were really good on third down the other night, and he started that drive with completing that one to Laurent Robinson over there. We always talk about the only way they can defend this ball is if you don't throw it high and outside. It's got to be perfectly placed, and they can't defend it, and he put it perfectly placed, and Laurent made a nice play, and that kind of kicked us into gear. And and then, you know, obviously the throw to Mike was also a third down play, and then the throw to Cecil for the touchdown was a third down play. So those are backbreakers, but those are drive movers, and they sustain drives when you can do that on third down.
Now, the next morning, my Twitter inbox is full of all kinds of things, and everyone wants to point to one throw where he kind of fell backwards as he was throwing. Can you address that? Because he took some hits across the head. He stood in the pocket, yet it seems like everybody still sees last year in their rearview mirror instead of seeing through the front windshield.
Sure. I'd invite him to be in the same spot that Blaine was and see what they would do. I mean, I really would. Here's the whole situation, okay? We moved some people up front in our line. Evan Britton to left guard. Cam Bradfield at right tackle. Really, we did that within a day. So neither one of those guys had a lot of work at it, but we felt like this was our best combination going into the game. Well, the play we called, Evan Britton has not practiced at one time. And he came across and missed that end, the guy that was free to come at Blaine, and he had a free run right at Blaine. And Blaine, you know, as he came out of the fake, it's a heavy, hard play action because we were going to throw the ball deep to Laurent. When he turned around, somebody was coming right at him. The only thing I wish he would have done is just give it a little more air. But to stand there when you got a free runner coming at you and try to get the ball off and make a completion, I totally love what he did. And I'd love to see how other people would react to that.
Well, and it was John Gruden who was killing him on ESPN last year with a couple plays like that. And it's good to hear you say it because I don't think any quarterback and any coach in the league want their guy to stand there and take the hit.
I mean, if you flip it over, there's a number of times that the exact same thing happened to Eli Manning where he was ducking as he was throwing because if he didn't duck, he was going to get clobbered.
Right.
But he had some serious pressure coming. He knew it. And you saw some of the throws were errant throws. He was just trying to get rid of it, but he knew the hit was coming, and he was basically ducking. And
sure.
That's just the normal reaction about for all quarterbacks.
At Jags Voice, if you'd like to join us on the program again. At Jags Voice via Twitter. It's the question, and people just can't seem to get rid of it. So appreciate you.
That's fine. Yeah, it was one play in the game. I know Evan now will have Evan will be better from that too.
Sure.
But it was just the way it unfolded.
Well, and your line now has a chance to work all week before you go to New Orleans, right?
Right.
That's a benefit because you didn't get that at all during the first 2 weeks of camp.
Not really. No, we have not. The same guys are up there right now, so that's good.
A little consistency goes an awful
long
way.
That helps at that position, being able to work together. You've got to know what the guy next to you is going to do before he does it. And you don't have to have verbal communication. You just trust the guy, what he's going to do. You've seen all the things that can happen on a play, and you just know it's going to unfold this way. And when you don't have that going on consistently together, it's hard to go in there and think you're going to execute the way you want.
We're due for a break. When we come back, let's talk about Brian Robiskie and Mike Thomas, both guys who stepped up and had big nights for you.
That'd be great.
All right, we've got lots to talk about with head coach Mike Mularkey at Jags Voice if you'd like to join us here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, join my partner Jeff Logman right after the Mike Mularkey Show here on WOKV and the Jaguars Radio Network for Jaguars All Access in Jacksonville. That's on CBS 47. It begins at 7 o'clock, and tonight's special guest will be Tony Boselli. You can join us at Jags Voice, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and have a question about Matt Veldman, the tight end, and what you see in that young man from North Dakota State. Obviously, he can jump high.
He can. He's a big target, obviously. That was a big play for us. You know, that won the game there with a two-point conversion. But Matt's come in here and hasn't been intimidated. He's not from a big school, and he's kind of climbing his way through the depth chart. But he's done some nice things. He's got a ways to go. Especially that position, which is a demanding position for blocking. But he's done well. He catches the ball very good. He's a big target in the passing game.
Speaking of that, you've got Justin Blackmon on the field now in pads. How has he looked? All the stories from practice today were that he had a pretty good day.
He did. He really did. The one thing he's got to work on is conditioning. You could tell we had a very tough practice this morning. We were out there about 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was hot. It was very physical. It was very high tempo. We did a two-minute drill at the end of the game or at the end of the practice, which really put pressure on those guys to think mentally and react physically when they were tired. And you could tell it was his first day in pads. You could tell he wasn't in the pads condition. But what was amazing was how well the other guys did. And in that kind of environment, that hot and tired and sore, they did a great job.
So you can see the result of a couple of weeks for those guys of being out on those fields.
Yes, there's a definite difference, which is good because now he knows, look, I'm not ready for, you know, this kind of practice, and what we're trying to do is make games easier. So when they go out there, and that was one of the responses from one of the receivers after the 13-play drive, I think it was Laurent Robinson said, I wasn't even winded. I mean, practices are harder on me than this game. I mean, that's what we want games to be easy, and so we're going to stress them.
Nick has a question. He wants to know, how is Justin progressing with the playbook and his understanding of the terminology, and, you know, how long will it take him for the game to kind of slow down for him a little bit?
Well, we'll see. You know, he's going to get his first test here this Friday night against New Orleans. I think he's done – it's obvious that he studied while he was, when he was away. There's no question about it, because he's not starting from scratch, which is a good thing. And he's spending countless hours extra with Jerry Sullivan. So we're going to try to get him up to speed as much as possible. But really, the test will come when, you know, there's nothing like the speed of the game and having to think and react. We'll see how well he does on Friday. I'll be a better judge then.
Joe, you've got something for us?
Coach from Facebook, this is from Sean, obviously impressed with Jordan Palmer. Wants to know if he's going to get a shot with the second or even the first team against the Saints.
No, I think we're going to talk Wednesday night about participation for the game, when we're going to play these guys. That hasn't come up yet. The ones are going to start or play a little longer than they did in the first game, and we haven't got to the twos and the threes as of who's going to play yet. That'll take place Wednesday night.
But it segues.
I mean, he played well.
Yeah.
I mean, he really made some great plays. Obviously, you know, he very confident, stood in the pocket and made some big throws and moved the team. Really, that first drive at the half went right down and
scored.
Went 85 yards and scored. And then obviously when we had that last drive to win the game, that was big on his part. So he's doing some good things for us.
Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Also at Jags Voice if you'd like to get a question in. So now you've got your team. Do you do more preparation for the Saints than you did for the Giants, or is your philosophy this week the exact same, still focused on you?
Pretty much the same. This is still training camp. We have 32 practices in training camp. We just finished 26 today, and it's still very difficult. The practice is still installing. We're still doing things to, We're not going to game plan. We're going to go in. We're going to let our guys play. They're going to run the plays that we've been running since we've been in camp, but nothing to specifically attack a certain area like you would in a game plan.
Came up with 5 sacks the other night against the New York Giants. Obviously, that kind of pressure would be big against Drew Brees and that fast-paced offense that they run. Chase Daniels had a nice camp for them over there this summer. And, of course, you know them from 4 years in Atlanta.
Right. That we got to get pressure on Drew. He's extremely good with getting the ball out of his hands. He knows where to go with it, I mean, pre-snap. And then our guys up front were relentless the other night. I love the way they play. Joe Cullen is outstanding at how he can get them to play at the level that they do. And they just keep coming, and they practice that way too. So it's easy to see why we're going to have some success there.
Safa would like an evaluation of Aaron Morgan, who had some great pressure against the twos and threes.
He's had a great offseason. We've had a tough time blocking him. Our left tackles have – it's been a chore to try to block him in the offseason. Then we came into here and we go, hey, let's see when we get the pads on. He actually gets a chance to rush, and we get to block him. And they have struggled blocking him in practice. And I finally said to him before the game, I can't wait to see how difficult a time you're going to put it, on the Giants. And he lived up to it. He's had a great camp, great motor, great kid. And I just want to see it happen for 4 games here. But you're talking about a guy that has shown it, but just he hasn't been consistent with it. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that a guy who can move up and play with the ones? You got the question about the quarterbacks, and you don't move those.
Yeah, I think especially with the intensity that our guys play with, you got Aaron. You got Branch out there that really did some good things too. He's really come along. Obviously, we're starting him, but with that kind of effort, you're going to need guys with a good rotation. And when you can get a rotation with the guys that are coming full speed like that, that's tough on an offensive line to hold up. So. Aaron will be in there if he continues to do what he's doing.
There was one particular pressure where Branch came screaming off the left side of the defense. That was explosive.
I remember the play. Tough to block with that kind of speed. And, he's advanced with the techniques and some of the things he's doing that Joe was teaching him and what he already brings. But it's just that he does it at such a high level already. He's going to be good.
At the end of the game, Ryan Davis, the undrafted kid from Bethune, made a play. He's a name that we heard throughout the offseason. Have you seen reason to believe that he can make strides and help you this year, or is he a developmental guy?
I think he's probably, we have such depth on our D-line, inside and outside, but he has done some good things for us. We just, he's got to get his chances, and he may be a guy we develop into another like Aaron Morgan. And
been around for a couple of years.
Mincy. I mean, Mince is, wow, he's just – awesome to be around a guy like that in the locker room and then on the field. He is 100 miles an hour, and I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
A guy who is on and off the roster and in a couple of different places.
Well, that'll
in
do
England
it to
and,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, San Francisco. Yeah, he really wants it. He wants
to
be
does.
There. Makes a big
Glad he's on our side.
A lot of people in Jacksonville are. All right, more to come with head coach Mike Mularkey. Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or you can visit jaguars.com. More with the head coach right after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And you've made some roster changes over the last couple of days, Coach, haven't you? I mean, we're getting to that time now where you start tweaking, looking for guys. Is it based on injury or performance or both?
A little bit of both. Right. We're constantly, and Gene does an unbelievable job with his crew back there. We're always trying to improve the roster. So anytime we feel like we can upgrade anywhere at any time, we'll make a change out and see if we can get better and better.
So you let a wide receiver, Charles Gilbert, go today, and you bring in a linebacker, Nate Bussey, from New Orleans.
Correct.
Is that a special teams-generated move, or is that just better, trying to get better?
Well, we think it's special teams. John Bonamigo was there.
That's right.
Tony Oden was there. So they've got some, they have a relationship already with him, so they know what he's all about. And they saw him on the waiver wire and approached me. I talked to Gene about it and felt like even at the linebacker position, with his speed and size, we could use him.
Absolutely. And you've added an offensive lineman as well, because your unit's been pretty banged up. You grabbed Josh Beekman.
Yes, we did. A veteran that's played. He was out of the league last year, which sometimes that happens.
Sure.
But we brought him in. He's a center guard. We're kind of low on the center position, and he's going through the process right now of, he couldn't work yesterday. Today he was in the helmet.
Right.
Tomorrow he's in the helmet. And Wednesday he can be in full pads.
So he's a next week guy.
He's a next week guy.
Wow,
I'm glad you asked, because I'm not sure, like, when we picked up Bussey off of waivers, does that mean he has to go through this since he's been in camp? I got to find out what the rules on that are.
Wow, good luck to you.
I don't even know the rules of that.
Good luck to you. How long does it take a guy like that, Coach, to come in and be able to understand your offensive line system, forgetting the fact that it's a relationship business up front, and you got to know the guys that you're working with?
Well, I think you got to just know what offenses he's been in. You have to remember, we just moved a D lineman, Drew Nowak, from defensive tackle to guard, and he played 50 snaps. He was there 5 days, so it must be user friendly, the offense, that you were able to pick it up. He had five mental errors, but I'm shocked that was it, and he played hard and played physical. So I think it's pretty user-friendly. Andy Heck does a great job with our line, and he'll be fine. He probably will not play this week just because of the limited time in the offense.
Staying with the offensive line, Cam Bradfield played right tackle. We all saw him last year step in on a couple hours' notice to start in Pittsburgh at left tackle and do a pretty good job. Your thoughts on him? He's a second-year guy, Grand Valley State, not a huge pedigree, Michigan-Notre Dame guy. What is his upside?
Well, he's very athletic for his size. He's strong. He's a physical player. He's a versatile guy. He played three positions the other night. I thought we did him a disservice. It starts with me. I thought he played well at right tackle. We all did. And then we moved him because of just the way it works out with preseason games. You've got position changes all the time. But when he went to those other positions, he was not as effective as he was at the right tackle. And I think if you leave him in one place for an entire game, he's going to be just fine.
And we saw just a little bit of Evan Britton at left guard last year before he went on injured reserve. How did he do going over there?
I thought Evan, for not having a lot of practice time, maybe a series of plays the day before. Obviously, he's played there before, but not in this offense he had. And I thought Evan did well. I mean, he's just a physical guy and a physical player, loves football. And, he did well, and he's going to get better. We're going to put him there again for this game. So,
When we talk about training, cross-training guys, centers playing guard, guards playing both sides, tackles who can play both sides, rarely do you think of a tackle that can go inside and play guard, a right tackle going to play left.
Yeah, no, he didn't miss a beat, so it was good to see him do what he did. I mean, really, on some of our power plays where he's got to pull and block people, he did pretty well.
And you see a pretty aggressive defense here coming in. You're going in there, and even though it's preseason and they're not scheming it, you've got some really athletic guys up front. Will Smith, Cedric Ellis, Cameron Jordan, a first-round pick last year. I mean, they're going to challenge you guys.
No, they're a good front. I've faced them the last 4 years twice a year. We know what we're going up against. And, again, it'll be our first test on the road. It'll be loud. That's a loud place, even in the preseason. So we'll get a lot of good work working with Silent Cadence on third down, and It'll be a good test for our guys up front. It's good defense.
Before we break, how about Mike Brewster, who ended up having to go into the game probably earlier than you had planned because of John Estes' injury? How did he do?
I think Mike stepped up his game. You know, he just was not planning on playing as early as he did, and he was certainly not planning on playing as many plays as he did. But he did well. I'm anxious to see. He's continually improving.
All right, more to come with head coach Mike Mularkey here on the Mike Mularkey Show. And, folks, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. More to come after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Bring your questions, folks, at Jags Voice on Twitter, and we will work them into the conversation. Preseason coaches show. Just lots of names, so let me throw a name at you. Keith Toston, the young running back who you picked up. Big kid, 5'11", 214. Your running backs coach obviously saw him in St. Louis. Give us your take on him based on what you've seen.
He did a lot. He played a lot for just being here a week. Sly Kroom had him in St. Louis, so he knew of his ability as a running back. And then he's really good special teams player. So he made some plays. He may not have had his name called out on special teams, but he did a really good job on special teams. And then obviously the big run and that last drive, he did a lot of good things on offense.
Are we guilty, those of us who've watched Montel Owens, of thinking he's just a special teams all-pro player?
He is a great football player.
He is, isn't
he? I'll state that to anybody. He is a great football player. He just knows how to do things, a lot of it without being told. He's just a great football player.
And I think he's a great example because he was like the ninth running back here a couple of years ago, and nobody even considered, as you were talking about Keith Toston for special teams, no one even considered that he would make the team because no one really could see what he was doing. And then all of a sudden, he not only makes the team, but he's a multiple Pro Bowler.
I mean, you think about it, what he does special teams-wise, that's how well-respected in the league, that there's only one guy, you know, on each side in the NFC and the AFC, and that he is recognized as the best. And then he can run the ball. Obviously, you saw that the other night.
He runs hard.
Oh, I mean, that play for the touchdown was outstanding. Ran the guy over, got hit from the other side, so he had a chance. He didn't even go down. And then he's great in protections, and he can play fullback. So he can do so many things for you that he's just got to keep a guy like that around, hopefully find some more like him.
Yeah. I mean, Montel Owens is a great story. From football powerhouse Maine, he is now going into his seventh season in the National Football League. How about a couple of receivers? I mentioned before we went to the break a while ago, Brian Robiski obviously made
some
catches.
Plays. Made some plays. Made some plays on third down that kept drives alive, and that was nice to see. Really, really was nice to see. Had a big game for us.
Do you see the son of a coach when you see him? Because obviously you know his dad very well.
I know his dad very well. I can see why he does some of the things he does. He's ahead of a lot of other receivers and little things because I know his dad's worked with him. I've seen him work with him.
How about Cecil Shorts?
Cecil did some good things. He's a physical player, physical wide receiver that did some good things in the run game. But Cecil has improved in the last couple weeks.
And then a lot was made of Mike Thomas being demoted behind Cecil, and obviously he appears to have stepped up his game.
Mike had two avenues to go after we moved Cecil ahead of him. You know, we were challenging Mike to see would he take this as a challenge or would he go the other way, and Mike has really stepped up his game. I thought he played extremely well on Friday night. He has practiced that way, which he was not before, and that was one of the reasons for making the move. Just the practice habits weren't very good, and he has taken the challenge, which I love that he did that. It didn't shock me, but I'm glad he did it, and really comes out to practice every day trying to get better, but made some big plays. That go route on third and 10 to go up and get the ball was huge. Yeah. Huge.
You got something, Joe?
Yeah, from Ian. This is more of a comment than a question. He says, I scratched my head, coach, when we drafted a punter in the third round. Now all I could say is, wow.
Yeah, we were going to get to Banger here in a
minute.
Not
a lot of people are talking about him. You know, he
really?
I
thought he won the game for you the other night.
Well, he was a big part of it. Yeah. I can promise you that. He didn't. His first punt was the first one that was, you know, I'm sure it had a lot of jitters. But after that, those turnovers started not just with the protection of the punt, but for him to put the guy down there on the 10-yard line.
Well, you could just see his neck was craned. He was looking. When's the ball coming? There's people coming at me. When's the ball
yes.
coming? There's people coming at me.
He changed the outcome of that game. There's no doubt about it. He had a big influence on that game. So it was great to see him do that.
He is a guy with that leg. Just the first one, it missed, right? The jitters. It was still 41 yards. I mean, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, some of his misses are the average in the NFL. So, no, I thought he did great. I think he's really good is placing the ball inside the 20. I mean, he is very good at that. And our guys are very good at
covering that?
At covering that because we work it a lot. And, I mean, John Bonamigo does that a lot, and you saw it come to light. A lot of things we practiced, you saw it come to light in that game.
At Jags Voice. And, of course, the Facebook avenue, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll get that right before the season's done. Got a couple more questions, and we'll get to them when we return to the Mike Mularkey Show here on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Coach, this is my 19th season hosting an NFL Coaches Show, and I have yet to find a coach who would say he's surprised by anything. But I'm going to ask you the question anyway because someone wants me to ask you. And this is from Edward, who wants to know if anyone surprised you on Friday night.
Oh, boy.
I told you, coaches are rarely surprised.
No, I was pretty happy with our guys up front. I really was, especially the O-line, not having any time together to be able to – that defensive line, I believe, is one of the tops in the league, if not the top.
Pierre Paul, Tuck, Umanyora.
I just obviously faced them in the playoffs. We had a hard time running the ball on them, and we tried to run the ball and establish the run because we knew we didn't want them pass rushing against us and couldn't do it. And our guys, I thought we physically held our own the whole night, especially with that first group to run the ball like we did. I was very, very happy with them.
So there you go, Edward. You got happy but not surprised. How about this? Who's a guy that nobody's talking about but's quietly having a good camp? Someone that you think deserves a shout-out?
Oh, boy.
Is there anybody?
Antoine Blake comes to mind. Yeah. Rod Isaac did some good things over there, special teams-wise and even as a safety. We've been working him at corner, and then now we move him back to safety. He did some good things for us. Kyle Bosworth had a productive game. Had linebacker filling in, playing a lot of special teams. And so there's some guys that are starting to step up.
Bosworth is a lot like Aaron Morgan. He's a guy who comes on undrafted and has to wait his turn, and he's injured. Now he's in his third season, just like Aaron is, and you're starting to see some things from him. There's kind of a pattern developing there, isn't there?
There is. I think he's plus he's gotten more of an opportunity. We've obviously Daryl Smith has missed some time with his injury. We've limited Puzz and Russell Allen a little bit just because of a ding here or there. And so he's had to go in there and step in and play a role in a number of positions, and he's taken advantage of it.
Demetrius would like to know if when you expect Daryl Smith back.
Won't be this week. Hopefully I had a long conversation with Daryl today to see how he's doing and don't want to rush anything, especially right now at this time of the still preseason. We'll see how he is next week.
You got a guy going into his ninth season. I mean, does he need to play a lot or at all in the preseason?
No, he doesn't have – even starting the first day, we had already had a plan of who we wanted to limit based on years, based on maybe previous injuries. So we had a plan going into the season, into the preseason and regular season, where Daryl was not going to get the full amount of reps that he's been getting in previous years. So that's already in place.
At Jags Voice, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked a little bit about their defense, Coach, and again, not game planning, but when you look at what they bring from a running attack, because we talk about Drew Brees and the number of yards he threw for, which was ridiculous last year. But they've got a running attack in New Orleans that I think is quite challenging with Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, although he's not going to play on Friday night, Mark Ingram, Chris Ivory. They've got a nice rushing attack. It just gets lost in the passing up there.
It does. And they're all a threat to go the distance. That's what's so scary about them. I mean, they've got – and they've got the tight ends that are – they've got – they have
Graham.
Yeah, I mean, they have just an arsenal of players, and it makes it easy for Drew that – Drew is so well prepared for every game. The guy is amazing the way he studies and prepares for games and has the guys he just doesn't works wonders getting the ball in their hands and let them get the yards. Very, very similar to a West Coast style of offense.
You've seen twice each of the last 4 years. We saw him here in October last year, and it was like a machine. I mean, it was breathless to watch as they just
right.
You
no, it is. It's they're tough to defend. They're really the the best defense is your offense. If you can control the clock, which, you know, that was our really our plan in Atlanta, was to try to keep him off the field, try to control the clock, and not let him get on there. And then if we had to, we had to match him scoring. And we, the 4 years we were there, we had some pretty good games, yeah, you know, against him. But we know how to go about trying to stop him, and if we can just keep him off the field, that's one way.
Yeah, you take that one any day of the week. Which brings me to one more question before we take our next break, and that is Aaron Ross. You know, got back from London, played a lot the other night. How did he do?
He did well. He did well. He no effects from the travel, and I was pleased with him. He came right back in, and really there was nothing that ever didn't look like it affected him at all.
Played with great intensity.
Yeah, he was glad to be back, too.
There's a chemistry about this team in just a couple of short weeks. A lot of these new guys, you know, Aaron Ross comes in, and you just feel it. How
his
teammates feel about him.
It's close. I mean, we've been together for 7 months, but these 2 weeks we've had a chance to get to know each other a lot better. I think they see the staff is on their side and wanting them to be successful, and they've known that from the beginning. That's it's just there's something about this team right now that's good, and I think there's a lot of good things going on inside here.
Got a good vibe from it. So let's take a break. We'll come back. More to come with the head coach of the Jaguars here on the Mike Mularkey Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets. The slow, smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouthwatering baskets. Sonny, the first name in barbecue. Coach, we love the fact that you went for it for two the other night against the Giants, because nobody likes preseason games to go to overtime. I was enjoying that game, but was that in your thought process? Why'd you go for it?
Well, first of all, I was asked during the week media session on whether I wanted to win the game, and I expressed that to the team.
Clearly you did.
Clearly, I've never done anything that I don't want to win. Right. So, actually, when that drive started, we already told the offense, I mean, we tried to put a little bug in their ear that, hey, when we do drive it down and we do score, going, we are going to do that, we're going to go for two. So they knew eight plays before the score that we were going to go for two. And so they kind of just positively drove them down there.
Well, you kind of have to push that point home, because you spend – look, people say, oh, that's a preseason game. The outcome doesn't matter. Well, to those players it matters.
Oh,
I mean,
it does
they want to play well.
It does matter.
And you spend the whole time saying you got to play well in every play. You can't then just say, well, who cares whether we win or not, can you?
No, you can't do that. I mean, that's you know, no, you can't do that. But it was we had such momentum at the time of the score, and the sideline, the energy on the sideline was unbelievable. I mean, it was an easy decision to go for two, regardless of people not wanting to go into overtime like you.
Right. No, I didn't want to go to overtime. Overtime preseason.
That wasn't Cole Pepper that asked that question, was it?
No, I won't. No, it was a big play, and it was nice to see Matt Velman make the play.
Yeah, reach up his long, you know, arms and grab it. You know, the reason that you – there's a lot of reasons why you don't want to play overtime football in the preseason, but the biggest thing is you don't want people to get hurt.
Exactly. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You don't want guys – that didn't play into it. Why? But
right.
You just don't want guys to get hurt.
And it's a dangerous game.
It's
going to happen from time
to
time.
Right.
At Jags Voice, if you would like to talk to the coach this evening. A couple questions about some undrafted guys. Kendrick Adams didn't play last week, going home to his home state. Does he get a shot to play this week?
Well, he's going to play.
Okay.
We're going to try to get him in there. We're unfortunately playing the starters a little longer. So we're just, again, we're going to talk about it on Wednesday night, who's going to play when. But, you know, it was just misfortune that he didn't get a chance to play, and we'll try to get him in there at some point in that second half.
But that's what you're speaking to, is that opportunities are few and far between for an undrafted guy.
Right. And we've got a number of guys. We've got a number of guys. The depth at on our D-line is pretty good, so it wasn't for any other reason, but we try to get some younger guys in there and take a look at them.
You know, forever it's been, you know, limit first preseason game how much your starters get, kind of limit at second, and then the third preseason game is really the big one where you give them the most time, although that changed last year because of the lockout a bit. Is that still a tried and true philosophy in this league, or does it change?
It changes. I mean, really, some teams are different. We played our line a little longer than the Giants did because we wanted to get Chad Henne some work on
with the number ones. Yeah.
With the number one, so they had 29 snaps. The other guys that were starting the game got, you know, around 20 snaps, 22 snaps, which is what we were looking for. The third game is you're just trying to get a trial run of a regular season game for the coaching staff, do the and the players, but it's basically a normal week of a season that you're going to try to emulate with game planning, giving them game plan books, scouting the opponent, trying to attack weaknesses of the opponent, and it's important, and they will play a good bit of that game.
And the fourth game is evaluating the bottom of the roster, right?
Right, because you're making some tough decisions right there, and that's when those guys are going to have to make one last splash to make something happen. And so, you know, that's a couple weeks away.
All right, Jaguars and Saints, Friday night is an 8 o'clock kickoff, folks. 8 o'clock Eastern time kickoff, which means that we start things with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show here in Jacksonville. At 5 o'clock, Jaguars pregame picks up the network at 7 o'clock and kickoff at 8 o'clock. This final break, and we're back to wrap things up with Coach Malarkey after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back. We're here to wrap up the Mike Malarkey Show for another evening. My opinion, I've got 12 tweets. I'll give you here. Being that Gene Smith likes married players and Chad Johnson's now a free agent, how about it? Are you kidding me? I just can't see that, Coach.
No, we're very happy with the guys we have in camp. We're going to continue to work with those guys, and we're not looking outside right now for.
I was going to say, and that's a position that you're stacked anyway.
We're doing fine right now.
But you've got a locker. We're talking about chemistry. You got a locker room full of guys that work together.
We have a great locker room. We have a great locker room. And guys that really enjoy being with each other. You know, it's interesting because last week I brought in a speaker. From outside, a guy named Mike Durant. He was the Black Hawk pilot that was shot down from the movie Black Hawk Down.
In Mogadishu,
Somalia. And, you know, he spent 11 days in captivity. And he's got a great message that relates to us as far as teamwork and trust. And he did an unbelievable job with our team. He spoke to him for about an hour and a half. But he was in the cafeteria having dinner with me. And he said to me, he goes, you know, I do about 45 of these speaking engagements, and I've done a number of teams, but these guys actually look like they like each other. They like being around each other. I mean, he just watched their body language and how they interacted in the cafeteria. And then when he got done with his speaking engagement and he was on his way back to the hotel, he said, I've never had a group, especially a football team, that was so diligent about taking notes. And then the questions that they asked me by far was the best I've had in years. So he goes, you have an unbelievable group here of players and good people. I mean, it was amazing to watch the players' reaction to his story.
Well, and when you talk about bringing guys in, I mean, free agency, the draft, you do a lot of background work on these guys and personal interviews with these guys, do you not?
Oh, we do. I mean, that's important. It's important. You can win with good people. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, and we have really good people. We have good players. I mean, we have players that are good people, and we have coaches that are good people, and we have people in this building that are, I mean, it's a great environment around here, so it's easy for to get the work done, we're getting done.
Training camp breaks this week or early next?
Sunday.
Okay.
Will be. Yeah, we have six more practices. Well, they go home, but yeah. It's still somewhat training camp when they come back. We still can put the pads on, which we're going to do because we need to do some things better, and you can't do it without the pads on. So
when do you go to the 14 padded practices? Does that start with the regular season
that
or
starts
does that start
with
when training camp
first
breaks?
First week of the regular season, Minnesota week.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
It'll be here before you know it.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate
it. All right, Brian.
And thanks all of you. Have a great night.